This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This hour is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today.
The views and opinions of Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris should not be taken too seriously,
especially when they give advice.
Do not take Marshall's analogies literally,
especially when it comes to Russell Dorsey.
The sports thoughts of Rahimi and Harris may change at any time. Remember,
it's just sports.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Rahimi and Harris, 10 to 2 on 670.
Who would win in a battle between 100 men against one gorilla?
You're going to see a lot of body parts dangling from a lot of places because a gorilla will just start ripping people to shreds.
Your first mistake was in assuming that 100 men would be coordinated. No. You will never, ever, ever be able to underestimate an intense animal that fights with no reason.
Who were the magicians, Hans and Franz, that got eaten by the tiger in Las Vegas?
Hans and Franz will pump you up. You're thinking of Siegfried and Roy.
Siegfried and Roy.
That's hilarious that you came up with Hans and Franz, though.
We're here to pump you up.
Listen ourselves. I am Hans.
I'm Dan Franz.
And we want to pump you up.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We broadcast live from the Score's Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And we have a short one today because we are getting you ready for Cubs baseball. In fact, that is just an hour away. How do you like that?
I love it.
They wrap up the series today. It is gloomy here. But unfortunately, you have some baseball to listen to during the day. The Cubs take on Paul Skeens and the Pirates in today's series finale at PNC Park. Pregame coverage coming up at 11. Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer have first pitch at 11:35 on the Score and the Southwest Airlines Cubs radio network. So we get you ready until then. And we have some people to address. Ray Diaz, Robbie Triano, and Brandon Fryer are producing crew helping out. You can watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv/670thescore. Our video team is Matt Anaya, Connor O'Donnell, and Jenna Duddleston. This is Rahimi and Harris, Marshall Harris, Layla Rahimi, and you. And unfortunately, we have to begin on the absolutely somber and upsetting note about what happened in the Cubs game last night. You never want to see anything happen to any fans in the stands of any games, but just a horrifying scene and even thought to know that there is a fan in critical condition right now, last reported, after falling from the right field stands roughly about 21 feet onto the field at PNC Park.
I was worried that that fan lost their life right then and there, but it's good to know that even though they're in critical condition, they are still living and they're still working to try to bring him back. And you know there's going to be injuries. How catastrophic, we don't know. But it, from the sound of it, because I refuse to watch the video, but from the sound of it, just a horrible thing to happen at a sporting event or really anywhere.
Yes, and unfortunately, accidents happen, but you don't want them to happen on your watch, you know, and that's the hard part. Whether you're a fan observing the game or whether you're somebody who unfortunately could have been in the stands, this is a traumatic incident. And obviously we hope that he's okay, you know, that they get through this. But for now, it's just a stark reminder of safety. Even at a game, when you think things are safe, sometimes they're not.
And just being careful and aware of where you are. And I don't know if alcohol was involved or not, but certainly just be careful, everybody out there.
Well, and I know that there are times where we've talked about other times where this was upsetting. You know, other times where we've had to say as fans, like, are we doing enough? Are teams doing enough to protect the health and safety of fans at games? And there was a protest from some fans a while back before the pandemic when it came to the concept of having netting. Just extend around as much of the ballpark as you can. The White Sox decided to extend it from foul pole to foul pole right before the pandemic or maybe during. And I thought it was a good idea then. I don't know that that was the case here where that would have been preventative, but it does make me think about possible safety measures to not have this happen in the future.
I understand the perspective of fans who are like, well, what about me catching foul balls and everything else? Trust me, this outweighs that as far as protecting fans who oftentimes are not paying attention to every pitch. And you see people all the time, at least you did back in that time before the netting, get hit. And then it was a whole thing. So, yeah, I think safety first definitely wins out here.
Yeah, and so we will obviously keep an eye on this. You know, it's a story that is being tracked nationally. It was one that, unfortunately, was incredibly viral last night, just as far as the reception to the story. Like, it became national news almost instantly. And I think part of the reason is because, theoretically, it could happen to anybody. And for the Cubs and the Pirates to have to observe that, I can't imagine how traumatizing that was for everyone in the ballpark. And then to have to just play through it and, unfortunately, play through the rest of the game. I think that must have been incredibly difficult as well.
They were able to get through it, and they'll be right back at it less than 24 hours later with the early start today.
And that's the hard part of this, is they have a game not 24 hours later. You know, it's basically that you have to go to sleep fast, wake up, get your bags ready because it's getaway day, and then get to the ballpark. And I think it's going to be very hard for people to have to, move forward in a way that functions at work, where, you know, a game is on the line today. That's the hard part about it. Like, take all the baseball part out. To have to go back to a place, the scene after that, where you have to have such a short memory when it comes to playing there, knowing what happened on the field last night, I can't imagine how difficult that could be today.
We'll see how they adjust. Obviously, that will be on their minds, but hopefully there will be good updates to come out of this that helps put people's minds at ease.
Yeah, 630 says, guys, they also had a fan get hit by a foul ball while distracted by his phone. Okay, I'm not sure what the tone is of that comment or what the point is, but either way, regardless, fan safety does matter. And if there are ways to prevent us from all having to witness what happened yesterday or hear about what happened yesterday, then I am interested in those options. We have a short show, as we mentioned, and it's a hard thing to have to get back to the sports side of it. But we do a segment every day on the show called Five on It. It is usually at noon. So we will get into our five topics in an abbreviated version of the Raheemy and Harris show today.
It's time for Five on. Layla Raheemy and Marshall Harris bring you five topics on their minds today on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I got five on.
All right, question number one. The Cubs lost to the Pirates 4-3 on Wednesday. Should this have been a series sweep for Chicago?
No. I mean, you would hope it would be a series sweep, but you can't say it should have been a series sweep. Not when you have Paul Skeens on the mound today. But first of all, it's hard to sweep a team no matter how bad they are, because mistakes happen, as we saw happen last night. So, no, I don't think you should expect a sweep of the Pirates, even though they are a bad baseball team. You should expect a series win. They should take 2 out of 3, and that puts the onus today on beating Paul Skeens.
I mean, I think the problem is you're hoping to hope for the sweep today. You want a Matt Boyd start to result in a win. Again, I think that events that happen during a game like that, you're not going to get your most accurate representation of anybody after that. That's just the case. But at the same time, if you're looking at it from just the baseball side of it, you're expecting the Cubs to try to go for the sweep today. That's what should be happening against an opponent like this. And I say this knowing that they're non-automatic wins necessarily. No win is automatic, but just their performance against the Pirates the last 2 years,
especially on the road,
has hurt them has hurt them when it comes to trying to get into the playoffs or trying to win the division. And that's something that good teams do. Good teams beat the bad teams in their division. The NL East expects what they want against the Marlins to happen, whether you're the Mets, Phillies, Braves, or even the Nationals at this point, theoretically. And again, you know, in the NL West, what do you think teams are doing when they see the Rockies?
They beat them down. They beat them to a pulp. They beat them so bad they're in danger of having the worst start in National League history. and barely getting out of that by this chin skin of their chinny chin chin. Is that
the Rockets expression? Are fire Rockets. You can tell I have NBA on the brain.
The Rockets got a win last night.
They did indeed. The Rockies are 5-25 on the season. That's two wins worse than the White Sox. That says a lot.
They're bad.
Five on it. Yesterday, we had another big error at the hot corner, this time by John Birdie. How do you want to see the playing time divvied up at third base for the Chicago Cubs?
Defense comes first, Layla. Defense comes first. So, Nicky Lopez is in the starting lineup today. I want to see the best defender out there regardless. You're already not getting any offense from the position, so I don't even care about that right now. Just give me a sure-handed third baseman. I think Nicky Lopez has proven over his career, while the bat's been a little bit light, he can field the ball. And you're costing your team games, multiple games, by the way, over the course of the season already at third base with below average defense. So that's something that's got to be addressed. I think Nicky Lopez might be the best way to do that.
This segment is sponsored by Webb Hyundai in Highland and Merrillville, Indiana. And I said in our pre-show meeting, if you had told me last year at this time that the Cubs would be getting help from Nicky Lopez and Chris Flexen, I would have looked at you like you had three heads. But that is in case what is happening. We know it's a long season. We know that you're going to have to rely on a lot of people. But either way, third base has been an issue for this team. Going back to Nick Madrigal, think about all the trades that they've had. Christopher Morel, for example. Jamer Candelario didn't pan out the way they wanted. Isaac Paredes is now a member of the Astros. You know, you go through all of this to say production out of that hot corner, either in consistency, which I think does factor into some of the defensive errors we've seen. Not just some, when you consider percentage already this season. And then also the offensive production you expect out of your infield now in baseball in 2025, that this is a concern for the team.
It's the concern for the team. You can argue this or bullpen.
I'd say bullpen is a bigger concern.
I would say third base, though, from a positional. It's one thing to not get production offensively. It's another thing to be a ragtag, you know, hunk of Swiss cheese because there's so many holes, it seems like, whenever a ball's hit that way. So I think third base is the biggest thing that they need to address. The reliever situation, they can cycle through guys. I don't think you can just cycle through guys at third base.
Well, they have been, unfortunately, and that's why we're here. Now, I like Nicky Lopez. I'm glad that he was able to stay local. The meatball in me is very happy about all of that. But it's just not the ideal situation for a team where you would argue the window for them right now is as long as the window of having Kyle Tucker. So that's an issue in a way. And if we're talking about another trade for another third baseman...
then it's something we should be used to. But I'm waiting for Matt Shaw to get called up.
We all are, but unfortunately, that was your original plan when you decided you didn't want Alex Bregman or didn't want to outspend the Tigers or the Red Sox. And that's where we
not
are.
Not even top two.
Five on it. How did the Cubs beat Pirates ace Paul Skeens today?
My first answer, Layla, is this. They should just hope he has a bad day. Sometimes pitchers have a bad day. They should hope for a Paul Skeens bad day. Because when Paul Skeens has a good day, whew, you need a great starting pitching performance from your starter. And on top of that, you got to find a way to manufacture some runs. And Nicky Lopez might be sacrificing people over today. I don't know what the plan is, but have good at bats. I would say take a lot of pitches, but Paul Skeens throws a lot of strikes. And then you find yourself down 0-2, 1-2. You just got to be resilient.
I think you have to be the St. Louis Cardinals, because that's the only team that's really racked up any sort of earned runs on him. You know, he had six innings on the 8th of April and gave up five earned runs in that game. His ERA is for him, really high at 2.23.
That's the scary part, right? What's that whip looking like?
2.39 for the season. Exactly. But when it comes to the teams that have tagged him for at least an earned run, you know, it was five against the Cardinals on the 14th. In his next start, he gave up one earned run, and then on Saturday the 19th against the Guardians, he gave up two. So that's what you're looking at here. He gave up only eight earned runs total in his starts the entire month of April. You're hoping that somehow you get a couple off of him today for sure. But then that also means that you got to hope that your starting pitching and your bullpen holds.
Last time I checked, Colin Ray's ERA was under one. So, yeah, match up.
We'll take that. But work the count, obviously. Make him work a little bit. This is a Cubs team that we know can walk. Once you are on base, go ahead and try to steal. And be judicious, though. Make sure, of course, that your first and your last outs are not at third base.
Yesterday, Craig Counsell joined Spiegel and Holmes to discuss the Red Hot Cubs, but during the interview, we learned a little more about Craig off the field as a youth sports dad.
I was working on berating umpires at youth league games because I thought that would prepare me for this job. And, yeah, I think it prepared me well. Yeah, so a lot of youth umpires in the Milwaukee area, not a big fan of me.
Obviously, Craig was joking there, but the question is, is Craig Counsell secretly hilarious?
First of all, I don't even think it's secretly. I am actually pretty angry about this because I think that in an effort to be professional and consistent for his team and be a good leader, that we are not getting all of the humor of Craig Counsell. And it makes me sad. I feel deprived.
Wait, you want him to be more openly funny? Is that what you're saying?
I think he does it because he knows it's the right thing to do for the job, but it makes me really sad because I think he's really funny and he just holds back.
No, I think he is authentically a funny guy, but he picks his spots. And I like the platform of Spiegel and Holmes. They do a great job of letting him just be himself.
Craig Counsell is a dry martini. Did you hear him messing with Matt Spiegel about missing a couple of shows? Listen to this.
Craig Counsell, the manager of the Cubs, is with us here. It's a Spiegel and Holmes show on The Score. I've missed the last couple times, I think, with Craig.
Yep.
Right? So
you've been busy?
I mean, I think I had some family stuff. Is that all right? Or should I?
Yeah.
Wow. No, I like how you tried to make Craig feel guilty on that.
Well, yeah, like, I know. I did. I felt you did right away.
Well, I mean, I felt like you were coming after me a little bit with the busyness thing.
My goodness.
I mean, I was. Yeah, I have a life. I have a life, Craig, if that's all right, man. I mean, jeez. So do you, don't you?
Oh, the passive aggressive out of the both of them was just fantastic.
It was an equal, nice seesaw back and forth of, I'm going to be passive aggressive if that's the way you're going to do me, and back and forth. And Craig Counsell just let it sit. I like that.
I am so in awe of people like that who are so good, where if they add an extra word to their sentence, you're like, oh no. Like, you're immediately put on edge because something is off. Like, oh God.
I do that a lot.
Like, he said my name in the sentence and then looked at me with a pause because he doesn't speak a lot of words. I am in trouble. So I love that. I just, I feel deprived because I think Craig Counsell is secretly hilarious.
I think there's no secret. I think everyone knows he is hilarious, especially if you're a listener to Spiegel and Holmes, where he frequently appears. He is a funny guy, a genuinely funny guy.
I need him to let it rip. Like, and
no,
his
I think
way,
this is his style, though.
No, I don't. I think he can be even more sarcastic and even more like sly.
I mean, he gives us pretty heavy, consistent dose of sarcasm.
He's good, man. He's good on the pauses. I'm into the Craig Counsell.
The comedic
sarcasm.
Timing is there. The chops
yeah.
are there.
Yeah.
That's a good take.
After eliminating the Lakers from the playoffs, Timberwolves star Anthony Edwards took a victory lap around Crypto.com Arena in LA. This is how Edwards responded when a fan asked about his favorite movie.
What'd they say? Lakers in five. And then look, when we was up 3-1, they said Lakers in seven. Go to hell today. Hey, Ty, what is it? Hey, the good guy gonna die in this movie. Hey, the good guy gonna die in this movie. Hey, Morris Chestnut died in this movie.
Hey, you mentioned Morris Chestnut. Is that your favorite movie, Boys in the Hood?
Nah, that ain't my favorite movie. My favorite movie, Matilda.
Matilda?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to check that out. I've never seen it.
Are you tripping?
Yeah, I'm going to
see it. That is an amazing answer by Anthony Edwards, and he's correct. If you haven't seen Matilda, you're tripping. Leads me to ask you two, what's your favorite movie
and why?
You don't
want to know the answer to this question. You don't want to.
Now I really do.
Guilty pleasure of mine. People won't. They don't know it. They'll sleep on it. My favorite movie is not a high quality film by many people's estimation, but give me Major Pain with Damon Wayans.
Major Pain.
Give me yes. Major Pain with Damon Wayans and a in her prime Karen Parsons, and we are cooking with fish grease.
I love that. Okay, let me think about this. I don't know that I have a one.
which is fine.
For a long time, like...
You just have favorite movie by committee?
Yeah, unfortunately, for a long time, on the drama side, it was Million Dollar Baby. I thought that was, like, such a brilliant movie at the time.
It's kind of a sad movie, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And I'm also the weirdo who really appreciates movies like There Will Be Blood and Parasite.
Oh, that movie... There Will Be Blood was my number two. That is such an amazing movie.
It just leaves you so empty inside.
Parasite for me.
You guys love to be traumatized by your movie.
Drink your milkshake. I drink it up.
Like, you really just... Like, I have had, like, intense hour-long conversations with people about that movie. And then on the comedy side, I'm such a dork. I think original Anchorman is one of the best. Old School is up there for me. I even watched The Other Guys because it was on TV the other day. Like, I hadn't seen it 7 times.
Aim for the bushes.
And every time I laugh.
See, that's a strong platoon, much stronger than the Cubs' third base platoon.
The Other Guys.
How would Major Payne
The
do
Other
the
Guys
third base
is right
the
there with me. It's on that same tier with Major Payne because The Other Guys is, if you haven't seen it, I just, woo!
The line that sent me this past time was when he asked Mark Wahlberg, "You learned how to dance like that ironically?" And then if you'll notice, I brought up Ian Happ and PCA and Nico doing things ironically.
Ah, the little engine that could. Ah, little nubs. Listen, go see Major Payne.
I don't think you can go see it. Oh, I think you just have
see
to
it at home.
See it.
Go to somebody's house and see it.
The movie club is building. Dude, Ann Edwards, I love you. You don't want to be the face of the league, but then you're so entertaining. Like, you just have to lean in. We have more coming up here on the Midday Show. Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris. We got some, I wouldn't call it breaking news, but we definitely got some defining news about the Bears this morning when it came to a question we had asked earlier this week regarding the offensive line. So we'll discuss it next on The Score.
Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
What's your comfort level on playing right side versus left side? Do you have a preference?
You know, if you asked me that during the season, I would obviously say right because that's where I practiced. But as soon as the season ended, you know, going to this level especially, you want to be as versatile as possible. So I've done a ton of work at, you know, all positions except center. So I would just be ready to fill wherever is needed.
That's Ozzie Trapillo telling you he is a man of service. We got some Bears news this morning. This is Harris and Rahimi on The Score, the Midday Show with you. And this is from our friend Aaron Lemming on X. He reported Bears GM Ryan Poles made it sound like this morning that the Bears will start Ozzie Trapillo off at left tackle and go from there. He said they would like to have things stable by the time they hit training camp so they aren't shuffling guys around in camp. That answers a lot of questions off the bat for us about how we're trying to figure out, A, where this competition is at positions, and then also, B, what their vision was for an offensive lineman who, based on the Bears' history, was a higher draft pick than ones that they depend on. Think about Braxton Jones, 5th round. Karan Amagaji, 3rd round. So that, again, has their actions backing up maybe their thought as to where he's going to go.
Well, I think even leading into these comments, which kind of solidify where I thought we were going, the only question was, would he be the first guy that would be out there when you have Karan Amagaji, who's also looks healthy and ready to go? With Braxton Jones out, who, when they do their next set of OTAs, when they do their rookie minicamp, any of it, would be running out their first team at the left tackle spot? Yes, I know we're not in pads, but still, that does mean something when you're out there working with the first team. And Trapillo seemed like the answer to me. It was easy because, well, they told us we're going to get 3 impact players, maybe 4, depending on how things landed, knowing that in their trade, their 4th pick actually became another 2nd-round pick, Shamar Turner. You understood that, hey, if this is the 3rd guy that they've selected in this draft, they expect him to have a role. You can call swing tackle a role, but I think he's the swing pick of this entire draft and early on of the Ben Johnson era. Because if he is productive and has a role, and again, I don't expect either of the tackles to play 17 games. I hope they do.
That would be wonderful.
But it rarely happens that way, right? I think now you're seeing Ozzie Trapillo being the guy that's going to get the first shot. And then Braxton Jones will step in as a guy who's been a starter. And that's where the battle will lie at left tackle.
they have to do something about that position if they really want to improve. The play that has happened there so far just hasn't been up to par. And improving the middle of the line will help that. It'll isolate exactly where they can I think, number one, opposing teams are going to focus on where you're weakest. So we'll find out that, you know, when we see opponents on the other side. I have a feeling Darnell Wright has been holding it down at right tackle. It would make sense that that's not where the competition is on the team. He's been doing his job.
I was told there was no depth chart, so everybody's up for grabs.
In my depth chart, it's Darnell Wright at right tackle.
Yes, and that's a good point because Darnell Wright at right tackle means it's not Darnell Wright at left tackle. That's another piece of this news that you can say, okay, it seems like he's going to stay in the position where he's been productive.
And I am weirdly optimistic. As critical as I have been about Braxton Jones, where a lot of times if you're watching the film, he's getting pushed into Caleb Williams, I am optimistic of what Ben Johnson could do with Braxton Jones because he's so good on the move.
I mean, we know Ben Johnson loves an athletic tackle.
Right, and he's really good when it comes to downfield blocking. I think he is one of the more agile, effective blockers on plays that require it. Like, I've seen him do some good stuff there.
So you like some stretch, you like some pull, you like some you like to see guys moving their feet and putting guys on their back. When I say guys, I do mean multiples in the same play. The potential of that happening in the run game, especially when you throw in play action. And now, if you've got people off balance on defense, you can do a lot more with the offense.
I just also like playing to people's strengths. And I think that is one of his, far and away. So why wouldn't you use that to your advantage? Yes, make somebody out-athlete my 6'5" guy who can block downfield.
I'd rather
sure,
you make
come
somebody
at us.
Out-rebound my 6'8" guy, except for it's not basketball, it's football.
Yeah, I mean, Ozzie Tripillo is a 6'8" guy. But I also believe that if you have skills in other sports, that's a good sign for you too. It means you know how to move. And that's a good thing. Your muscle memory is a little more agile. You can move in different ways. Like, you know how to fall, for example. Those are all beneficial.
Slippery like Luther Burden III, who we learned was an excellent basketball player and can get by people in space.
Yeah, I appreciate
tight
dudes
spaces.
Who can be described as athlete, for sure. But when it comes to how Ryan Poles, I think, also sees that position, what traits that he needs, height is clearly one of them, you know, with 6'5 and 6'8". And then additionally, trying to see how Tripillo's tape translates from Boston College, where Ryan Poles went to school, to the NFL.
That Boston College connection.
The GM of the team.
That Boston College connection is something else. For everybody, I mean, Ben Johnson included, that the BC kind of origins for the relationship, the team building, the front office to head coach connection. I'm interested to see where that goes, all the way down to the 7th round running back that was drafted.
Yes, who we desperately need to produce. I also want to give an update, and unfortunately, another update on something we had happened earlier this week on the Midday Show. So, Ray, you are now the victim of a theft by the office
thief? Yeah, that's right. I went to go make some coffee this morning in the kitchen. And my mug is gone. My coffee mug is gone.
So, and this is not the first time?
This is not the first time I had my Ian Happ Connect Roasters mug that was stolen previously.
Where was the mug? Where was the mug?
In the kitchen, but there's a little secret part to the kitchen. Where
you thought
the,
it was secret?
Well, I thought it was. It's not so secret
what
anymore.
What jerk face is stealing people's mugs?
And going into a cabinet where I have just a box of tea and a little like plastic bag that I use.
As a non-coffee drinker, let me ask this question.
Yeah.
Is it possible that some people think that some of those mugs are public mugs for public use?
Most of the time, I could see that being a thing. However, my mug was in a secluded little cabinet that only had a box of tea and a couple of plastic bags that I save in there. So it's like you could kind of tell the vibe of this one cabinet. This might be someone's stuff. So that's pretty egregious, in my opinion.
I'm sorry that you lost yet another mug.
That was a nice one, too.
Let's go to the cameras.
Do you wanna,
they're there for.
Do you want to open that up?
I mean, what if we found out it's someone among us, like someone in this building?
Well, then we
got beef.
Then we find out, yeah.
Someone in content. This non-barbershop quartet, even.
That's content. It's I also just would like to know. You know, wouldn't you like to know?
Well, I have a mug, and I actually hide it in this office here, and I hide it behind the laptop or one of the computers.
Don't announce that over here.
Do you realize people can tell people where it is? Yeah. You're no longer hiding.
But the thing is, if someone goes to the lengths to do that, then I know we have a thief here, and we need to like get on the case.
We have a real problem.
There were people stealing pizza out of the baggie of pizza that Studs had in the refrigerator that is now in the control room.
Okay.
What jerk face does that?
So here's the thing. We talked about Kevin Cassidy and having his mug stolen, and there were conflicting reports about the conditions under which the mug was, I don't even know if borrowed was the right word.
Kevin Cassidy is our final boss
video game. Yeah, he's Bowser. So listen, the person that stole, I'm using air quotes because that person came forward. I asked Kevin via email, did you find the culprit? His response, I did, --, and quickly, with an exclamation point and a smiley face. So they took the threat of going to the video seriously, but also that person says it was a misunderstanding. They had taken the mug so that they could give it to Kevin later because they were worried about it being out in the open where someone could steal it.
That's cap. That's total cap.
Yeah, that's no total way. Cap. We're not buying that?
That's the, no, not that's at all. The biggest puppy who lost his way Billy Madison explanation I've ever heard.
There was a whole shame theme when we met with the group of people that this particular person was a part of yesterday morning. Everyone, it was a buzz. Can I say that? Is that a fair representation?
Yes, the office was a buzz.
The office was a buzz. But the important thing is, that mug got returned to its rightful owner. We hope the same thing happens with our man, our executive producer, my man, 100 grand, Radiaz.
I mean, why are people doing this?
It's a giant brown coffee mug. It's a great mug, holds a lot of coffee. Bring it back, man.
How do you feel
Bring
about like
back,
putting
man.
A keychain that says Ray on it or something?
Yeah, I'm going to have to do that.
Yeah, just so people know. If you put your name on it, I think that helps.
See, I don't trust none of y'all, so I would keep a mug in my backpack and just bring it with me every day.
That's what I do.
Yeah. See, I used to do that till one day I was on the train and I kind of bumped something and my mug cracked. So now
no.
I don't do that.
I use one of those, like, I have a Starbucks mug I got in Korea, the one that looks like the South Korea. I got it. It looks like the milk bottle. I don't know if you've seen that. That's like, it's one that you can use for hot or cold. So I use that. I'll take my coffee here and that. Or sometimes, like, I have, like, various ones. I have a Starbucks Stanley Thermos. Long before the Stanley Tumbler overtook the nation, I had an old school, the teal Stanley Thermos with a little cup on top.
You were on the first wave. I got you.
Yeah.
The pre-wave.
But
office doesn't have paper cups as well. So there's no paper cups in this entire office. So even if you did want a cup of coffee, like, people, because coffee is like a drug. They're just going to take the first mug that they
That's
see.
That's why I don't drink coffee.
Right about
I'm
that.
Not an addict y'all, like y'all. I'm not like y'all in Cookie Monster from Family Guy. I just stay on the straight and narrow.
I'm okay with a coffee mug borrowing if you wash it with your nasty soap.
I don't
but
trust
like,
these people here.
I don't trust them.
But don't just
oil.
Take it.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Yeah, yeah, I reuse this water bottle a lot.
That's why
I reuse all of my containers all of the time.
Oh, yes. We both have a habit
of
doing that.
Yeah, we do. Now, I will stop using it after a certain amount of time because that's the right thing to do.
That's why you can usually miss me with any kind of office potluck theme type activities because I don't know what you let your cats and dogs do at your house, and I'd rather just not take that chance.
That reminds me of the Tina Fey commercial where she's like, a dog's mouth is cleaner than a human's foot or something. It was like the one at the checkout.
I don't think that's great. Either way, I'm cool.
Hilarious. We have more here to come on the show. Rahimi and Harris, we are getting you ready for an early Cubs baseball game that is taking place in Pittsburgh. Coverage begins at the top of the hour. So we will take a look at that Cubs lineup in the third and final game facing Paul Skeens, hear from Craig Counsell, and more next.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
So we're back. And we're giving stuff away because people seem to like it when we give things away. Caller 6, 7, and 8 to the Score contest line, 312-540-0670. They will win a pair of tickets to see Mully and Haw to do their show live on Friday, May 16th at the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Stage. Be a part of a studio audience as they get you set for the start of the Crosstown Series with special guests and plenty of Cubs Sox chatter. Plus, popcorn will be provided by Nuts on Clark. That's Friday,
May 16th. It's all brought to you by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois through it all. 312-540-0670. Caller 6, 7, and 8 right now. Speaking of Cubs and Sox and a guy who's made an error for both of them in the same month, you have some news on Gage Workman?
Do you want to tell yourself?
No, I'll let you do it.
Are you going to be okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
The White Sox posted this on X prior to today's series finale against Milwaukee. The Chicago White Sox reinstated rookie infielder Chase Meidroth from the 10-day injured list. That's good. But they placed infielder Gage Workman on the 10-day injured list with a right hip flexor strain.
What did you say, Layla? He's a real White Sox now? Is that what you said?
Congratulations, Gage Workman. You're one of us now.
Hopefully he's back in time for the series we just
You want to be the Cubs? You unfortunately have a right hip flexor strain.
Hopefully he's back
Welcome
by then.
Welcome to my team.
He could be back by then, right? That's like 20-something days from now.
Oh, yeah. Crosstown, what you just said?
Well, he wants to beat the Cubs. He's got to be on the field to beat them, right?
Can you be like, hey, Gage, I know your name is Tater and all, but how do you feel about popcorn?
Listen, man.
Get yourself ready by Crosstown.
No one in this city is
pulling for us
for Gage Tater Workman as hard as I am, because I am a huge Rule 5 fan. I like the idea that this guy had never played above AA and he was getting a shot. He has not done particularly well with the opportunity that's been given him. But there's still time.
You know, listen, you impress people at the right time, answering the call when you're supposed to with your bat and coming through as a Rule 5 guy. That's going to earn you a lot of, I think, goodwill. So I don't mind that at all. Again, I don't mind the Sox picking up players like this. I really like the fact that they brought up Chase Meidroth. So not in this move, obviously. He was already there. But the point is, bring him up.
Do you want to know the starting lineup for today's game that's going to happen at 11:35?
I do. Who's the Cubs lineup?
Okay, so leading off, we got Ian Happ playing left field, Kyle Tucker in right field, Seiya Suzuki DHing and batting third. Cleanup, it's Michael Bush playing first base. In the five hole, it's Nico Horner playing second base. Pete Curl Armstrong will bat sixth.
Ooh,
in this lineup, playing center field. Miguel Amaya will bat seventh and play catcher. Dansby Swanson will bat eighth and play shortstop. And Nicky Lopez holds it down in the nine hole as your third baseman. They went with the best defense available, I believe, in that BDA, best defense available.
I like it. I like where you're going with this. Unfortunately, there's something that we need to touch on ahead of this game that we didn't earlier. And it was a piece of news that Craig Counsell gave the afternoon show yesterday.
It's bad news.
I immediately texted you guys with sadness.
It's not great.
When Javier Assad is going to the 60-day injured list, that is a problem. I know Tommy Hottovy touched on it earlier this morning with Molly and Hoff. You missed it. That was at 7:25. You can go to the Odyssey app, check out the chapters, and that's where you will find it. But man, I was hoping that he would be a part of the solution to the Justin Steele problem.
Well, so far, the guy who's taken the mound today has been the solution to the Justin Steele problem.
He's been part of it.
He's done very well in the rotation since being elevated from swingman in the bullpen to now rotation piece, and now Chris Flexen takes his spot as the new Colin Ray. Hopefully he'll pitch as well as Colin Ray, who has a 0.96 ERA.
And Chris Flexen, to his credit, like, if there was ever a time where pitcher win-loss record from the previous year meant nothing.
Well, yeah, he pitched for the White Sox. So,
right, yes. But point being, I think he is a serviceable arm in all of this. I was just hoping there was better news on Assad, because theoretically he comes up and he can be that role in the bullpen again, similar to what we had seen, where he will start occasionally. He will be that guy who can eat some innings. But this is, it's unfortunate for sure. You know, especially when I feel like he had made some strides after the World Baseball Classic, for example. Like, you felt like there was real sustained progress there. Just upsetting.
So you're not holding Chris Flexen's 3-15 record a year ago against him, is what you're saying?
I'm not, actually.
Yeah.
I am not.
What about the 1.519 whip? 1.519 whip.
That's unfortunately something that you have to talk about. But yeah. Given the, and especially with the Cubs bullpen specifically having such walk issues, it's still, like I said, I was hoping Assad would be part of that solution for Justin Steele's absence, but you need arms and you need guys who know how to pitch a lot of innings out of a pen. So he'll not be a part of this.
The good news for Flexen is he was putting up outstanding numbers, albeit in AAA. What he's done this season, 5 starts, a 1.16 ERA, a whip that you can handle, Layla, 1.157.
Yeah, you're facing completely different hitters.
I know, but it's something. It's something, okay? Sometimes you just have to reach out and grab something, okay?
That's so true. This segment is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. You can save on dental implants today.
I can't believe the show is almost over. It feels like it was a blur, but I'm glad we got to do 5 on it. I really am. And I'm glad that that's a thing that we're doing at noon every day, because I think people will get excited about that. It's a little sports, a little not sports. It's a little just let's have fun.
It is. It's a potpourri, if you will. Kind of like the Jeopardy category.
Okay.
Potpourri.
Is Jeopardy your favorite game show?
Probably. Wow. Wheel of Fortune might be up there.
Yeah, give me the feud.
Family Feud.
Give me the feud.
The answers at the end are always
give me the feud.
Always a real wild card.
I love it. I'll get you, me and let me pick my partner. We're getting the 200 points.
Like, you know, a question can be like name something you put in a water bottle and
water.
Somebody will go gasoline and you're like, wait, what?
No.
Why did you answer that? You needed 2 points to win and now you have 0.
Layla, you can be my partner.
I think we would do okay. Like,
we're going to
probably know the survey says answers.
I think we could do well. Yeah.
Or they'll
be
like, name an eye color, and somebody will say, great, gray. And I'm like, wait, that's not the top 4 eye colors. Like, why was that your answer?
Brown would have been number one
right.
answer.
Right. You get disappointed in people on the feud. That's the issue. And
they clam up in the moment. They clam up in the
and
moment.
I'm like, that's your answer with $20,000 on the line or whatever.
And understand, your family's going to come at your neck if you give a dumb answer for the rest of your life, because that's your family. You can't avoid them.
Name an eye color. Purple. No. That's Elizabeth Taylor and nobody else. Why was that your answer?
Wow.
Hey, really quickly, somebody had to forfeit their slot for that awesome Mully and Haw show on Friday, May 16th. So you can call 312-540-0670. There's still one pair of tickets available.
I love it. So we're giving away stuff, and we give you Cubs baseball from Pittsburgh. The series finale is next on The Score.